This is F1 Debrief, prodding a bear with a stick. Coming up on this show, we discuss three-part rage, another change of attitude, and several surprising top threes. I'm pretty sure that no one was expecting the Azerbaijan Grand Prix to be at all interesting, but it delivered a lot of stuff.
There are many, many discussion points to touch upon, but let's start with the biggest topic that everybody's talking about right now. Well done to Daniel Ricciardo. What a win. What a comeback. Terrible strategy. I think he was 16th or 17th at one point. An amazing drive to take that win.
It was a good drive, but no, that's not the biggest story.
No, it isn't, actually. You're right. But Valtteri Bottas, another great comeback story, took second place on the line. An amazing recovery.
Nope.
Also not the big story?
Nope.
Lance Stroll, first podium, youngest ever podium for a rookie in Formula One, and coming on the back of points in Canada. Again, what a stellar afternoon that man had.
Yeah, that's not it either.
What is the big story then? What is everybody talking about?
You know what everyone's talking about. It's all about Vettel and Hamilton. Just like the rest of the season, really.
It's not a fight for the championship that's under discussion right now. It is everything that went on under the safety car.
It is. And I have a kind of rage about this topic.
Yes.
And it's in three different parts. It's like three-part rage.
Okay. Talk me through the first part of your three-part rage.
So the first part is the incident that happened that started everything. Hamilton may or may not have brake tested Vettel. I'm not very good at making that kind of a call, whether he did that. He probably shouldn't have done what he did, but it's not the first time people have been a little bit naughty under the safety car.
Okay.
But Vettel completely overreacted. He pulled alongside him, he gesticulated wildly, and then he crashed into the side of Hamilton. Now, I can't tell if he did it deliberately or if, because he was gesticulating, he sort of lost control of his car. But either way, if you've only got one hand on the wheel, something's going to happen and you shouldn't have been in that position anyway. So he did wrong.
And the third part of your three-part rage?
That's the first part.
Oh.
So part two of my rage is at the stewards, because they noted it, they investigated it, and they eventually gave him the 10-second stop-go penalty, which is nowhere near strong enough. I thought they were delaying that red flag period so they could think about it and come to the right decision, but they didn't. Everything got going again. They were in exactly the same position, Vettel behind Hamilton. It could have happened all over again, nearly did. And in the end, they just gave him this drive-through kind of penalty thing. He should have been black flagged. He shouldn't even have been allowed back in the car after the red flag.
Okay, and the third part of your three-part rage?
Well, this part makes me more mad than anything else, and that's Vettel's reaction to his penalty. First, he was on the radio going, "When did I drive dangerously?" Like he didn't already know. And then he's like, "Please ask Charlie when I drove dangerously." And after the race, he's not acknowledged it at all, which means one of two things. Either he thinks we're all idiots and didn't notice, or he doesn't understand what he did, which is worse.
Okay. These are major, major problems you have with today's race. The good news is, as you said at the beginning, we were not expecting anything to come from this Baku race. I think the debut of the Grand Prix last year was a very boring and sedate affair. It didn't stand out in my mind as anything particularly exciting happened. I know that Hamilton and Rosberg had some issues with their cars during the race, and that was about the highlight of it. This race was jam-packed with action and jam-packed with highlights. But Hamilton and Vettel and their coming togethers, that has caused a lot of problems. So let's start with your first issue, and that is the safety car and etiquette behind it. I'm so mad at Vettel for making the move that he did, because until that point, Hamilton was driving erratically and dangerously and was causing problems for others within the race. And if Vettel had kept his cool, that could have been the story. That would have been the talking point in the debate, because Hamilton, he wasn't being very gracious. I think he was criticizing the stewards. He was criticizing the FIA. He was complaining about the speed of the safety car. All of those things warranted some criticism, but Vettel went so far above and beyond with his dangerous move that it's kind of overshadowed that. But I just wanted to touch upon this. Hamilton happens to have a car this year that struggles to warm up its tyres. And other cars suffer from this, but I think the Mercedes has a more acute problem. And so Hamilton was on the radio every time the safety car came out. He wanted a virtual safety car, not the actual safety car. He wanted the safety car to drive faster, despite being a tight and twisty street circuit and it's only a road car. And he was complaining that the marshals needed space to work and to recover these carbon fiber parts. despite the fact, you know, they work for free and it's their lives that are at risk. And who cares that Hamilton has this car that he can't switch the tyres on when he likes? And I felt like it wasn't a reputable performance or reputable radio messages from someone of his standing. I'm listening to these radio messages and I'm thinking, cool it, Dan. You know, this is not on.
Especially because, I mean, he was under a bit of pressure, but he was leading the race. So out there, out front, he probably could have afforded a bit of respect.
I think so. And also, we saw in qualifying that when it mattered the most, and you only have one flying lap to get that ultimate time, I mean, he could make that Mercedes do what he needed it to do to get pole position. So it's, you know, the tyre temperature issues are a problem this season, and Pirelli are working to fix it, and it's an ongoing saga that we're going to hear again and again. But Bernd Mailander in the safety car was obviously doing the very best job he could.
Driver of the day.
Yeah, he was doing a really good job out there. It's a nightmare of a circuit. I mean, you've played the track on the PlayStation. It's so tight and twisty. I wouldn't fancy his job today.
I've played about three corners of the track, yeah.
Yeah. What, before you crash?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to, watching the rest of, I've got to have a say about Hamilton at some point on this. In the next podcast, I've got to have a say about this. And then it was immediately overshadowed by this incident with Vettel. And I don't know. I mean, the FIA said that Hamilton didn't brake test Vettel. And we have to assume that that's correct. They've looked at the data. They said he went around that corner the same way behind the first safety car and behind the second safety car, and therefore they deem his driving to be consistent, not right, but consistent. And I felt like Hamilton was messing around behind the safety car. Your job is to lead the pack when the safety car goes in. And the first time, I think he narrowly nearly overtook the damn safety car because he misjudged it, or he judged it to the absolute limit. And the second time, Vettel was rattled. And wasn't paying enough attention, and then rammed into the back of Hamilton, which then brought out Vettel's rage. It looked like he had so much unrestrained rage at that point, he just wasn't with it. He didn't know where he was on track, probably didn't know that he was doing what he was doing, and swiped into the car. And annoyingly, I mean, that is a black flag incident. That is, get the car and the driver off of the circuit. They are not safe. Vettel is not safe behind the wheel. He has so much anger that he should be parked, he should be benched, and that should be the end of his day.
Yeah, especially because when the red flag period ended, they were back in exactly the same position. Hamilton behind the safety car, Vettel behind Hamilton. It literally could have happened again. And they just put him straight back into that position where he could have got rage again and he could have done anything. He was using his F1 car as a weapon,
yes,
which he shouldn't do.
And that should not be allowed. And the stewards also did not cover themselves in glory today. They had an extended period of time during the red flag period to figure out what to do about Vettel, to make the right call. And they missed that window. And the cars were back out on track before they made a decision. And I think, do you have a Hannah Fry's tweet, which I think summed up really nicely?
Dr. Hannah Fry said, "So Vettel only gets his penalty just as Lewis has an issue."
Yeah. And that is slightly suspicious.
I mean, it's a conspiracy theory, but, you know, it did happen like that.
But the way it happened to unfold. So Hamilton has this issue with his squidgy, what do you call it, the padding around his cockpit, which he at some point he valiantly tried to push back down and hold in place. One hand behind his
head. Hold it back with your head.
I've never seen a driver race a Formula One car with one hand behind his head,
no. Tied
behind his back almost literally. But he did a decent job, but obviously it was unsafe and he had to come in. And almost immediately after he'd had that call, the stewards decided that Vettel must have a stop and go, which neutralised the damage done to Vettel.
Yeah, and it is tricky. I mean, I get it. We want to see the championship pair fighting head to head on track. We want there to be great battles and we don't want to mess with the championship fight. But if drivers do stupid things, they need to own up to that.
Yes. I mean, apart from anything else, you're not supposed to overtake another car under a safety car. And Vettel was clearly at one point in front of Hamilton. That seemed to be overlooked. No one mentioned that at all. I will say that it feels like Vettel is very well suited to Ferrari. Ferrari are the kind of team who want an entitled child in their car who can act like the entire world bows down to them. And that suits Ferrari's mentality. I think them and Ferrari and Vettel are a great pairing. And I think this the way that they reacted after the race in terms of defending Vettel and Vettel's ability to dodge questions reminded me a lot.
It was so weird.
Yeah, well, it reminded me a lot of Schumacher at Razzcats. Like, that didn't happen. I don't know what you're talking about. You parked your car right in the middle of the road. No, no one's going to mention that. I think it's fine. Nothing to see here, folks. Move along. And Ferrari and Vettel just sort of managed to not answer the question or answer every other question that nobody was asking and avoid that entirely. Did you deliberately drive into another car? That's the only question that we wanted to hear the answer to after the race, and that is the only question that neither Ferrari or Sebastian Vettel answered.
We asked for your feedback on this situation, and our first voicemail is from Lukey.
Hi guys, Lukey here. So today's race, where'd you even start? Well, today's wrestling, well, car-based wrestling match, I think would be more appropriate given some of the incidents that took place, but yes, Vettel and Hamilton, Vettel and Hamilton. See, neither party is innocent, as far as I'm concerned with this, and I think that unless there's clear evidence, I haven't seen yet that Lewis didn't slow down. I think he did slow down and kind of brake test Vettel a bit, which is pretty naughty. You know, you can't do that, but then I suppose on the other restarts he did something similar. So he's consistent in doing it, I guess. I don't know how, and yeah, it's a strange, that's a strange one by itself. I'm not sure where to go there, but of course we've got Vettel. Naughty, naughty Seb. Naughty, naughty, you can't do that in F1, naughty Seb. You can't do that in any motorsport. Let's put it this way, if you're driving along a road and someone annoys you, which probably is going to happen given that 90% of drivers are just there, I believe, to annoy you, you wouldn't go random and random, would you? You just wouldn't. You wouldn't do it on a normal road, you wouldn't do it on a racetrack, you wouldn't do it anywhere unless you're playing Grand Theft Auto, and that is quite literally the goal of your mission. But this is Formula One, this is the pinnacle of motorsport, this is supposed to be the top tier, the best drivers, the elite, you know, the best of the best, and you've got a world champion getting angry at a safety car process that was probably tempting him a bit, but to then act on it by going around Lewis and hitting the side of him is just not on. It's bad. I'm really disappointed in him.
Yeah, I am really disappointed with him too, because now it's like this season I was cheering, yeah, we've got Vettel up front, he's going to take the fight to Hamilton for the championship, it's going to be really interesting. Now I just plainly want Hamilton to win the championship, because I don't want this Vettel who can get away with this kind of thing and make us all look like idiots, because we don't know that he crashed into anyone. It never happened. What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. I don't want him winning another championship. He doesn't deserve it.
True. But also, you want entertainment. You cannot argue that this race didn't provide entertainment on the Sunday afternoon. Yes, you're mad and disappointed, but it's high-stakes sporting drama. That's what we want. That's what we've been given. Hamilton and Vettel seem to be getting along far too well at the start of the season. So you need them to have a falling out, and yeah, and now you've got one.
I mean, it was always inevitably going to happen. I just didn't necessarily think it would happen like this. And I think a few podcasts ago, I was saying that we needed to have a big bad that we could all love to hate. Mm. And now we've got one.
Be honest, you've always had him. It's just he wasn't at the sharp end. Vettel has a history of doing this. He stoved into Webber when he was at Red Bull. And I think behind the safety car in Fuji, he may have brake tested Webber and caused Webber to go in the back of him. So, I mean, Vettel's been here before many times, and he's still the same person. He hasn't changed at all. It's just that because he hasn't been at the front, because the Ferrari hasn't been fast enough or whatever, we've sort of been spared that until now.
That's true. And actually, people are noting that it isn't his first transgression this year, because James Allen tweeted, also note Vettel got 3 penalty points on his license, so he's up to 9 now. One more of those, and he misses a race.
That's true, but I think some of those expire the race after next. Mind you, the thing is, let's say he does something wrong in Austria. The stewards are going to go look at it and going to go, it's fine, whatever. We better not give him a couple of points. He's a Ferrari driver and he's near his limit. So I think he's got, right now, Vettel can do what he wants, right? I mean, he's got permission to do whatever he wants with his car in any race going forward. That's what I'm reading from the stewards' decision. It's a very poor day for the stewards.
Another of our voicemails came from Stephen, who shared his thoughts on Vettel.
Hi there, Stephen Roy. Vettel getting a 10-second stop go for driving into another driver and using his car like a weapon is pathetically weak. It's a complete breach of any safety rules. For me, the very least they should get is when parked from that race or given a one-race ban. I don't care if he did it deliberately or if he just wasn't in complete control because he was in bad temper or whatever. F1 cannot be allowed to turn into NASCAR. And rubbish like this, like a 10-second stop go for something that's a serious breach of safety rules, is completely out of order. The other point is on sporting integrity. I've always argued that the most important thing in Formula One is sporting integrity. If it's not a sport, it's nothing. You may as well script it. So for that reason, I've always argued against cars that are lapped being allowed to unlap themselves. Because if someone's gamed, you know, someone's actually passed a couple of lapped cars, why should they lose those that buffer? They've already lost the lead they had, so why should they then lose the extra sort of time? I felt really sorry for Lance Stroll because he's just lost second place to a guy who should have been a lap behind him. It's ridiculous. I'm not completely negative about the whole race, but just a couple of points there.
That's an interesting point about Bottas, actually. I was trying to total up the number of drivers that whose afternoon Bottas ruined.
It was a lot.
Because his incident on the first lap obviously took it Raikkonen, damaged Raikkonen, but the debris from that blocked up Verstappen's radiator and Ricciardo's radiator.
And someone else's, I think. I can't remember.
There were cars behind them which caused problems. And then later in the race, he obviously passed Stroll on the line, took second place away from Stroll, and he also managed to upset Hamilton because Hamilton wanted him to back Vettel into his clutches.
Well, yeah, that was an unreasonable request, though. Never mind about that second place you're fighting for, Bottas. Please help me.
Well, yeah, yeah, fine. But I mean, there was at least six drivers unhappy, I think, with Valtteri's display this afternoon. So yeah, but yeah, and also he obviously got this lap back unnecessarily. And I think I agree with Stephen. They should just the situation is simple. If you're a lap down behind the safety car, drop backwards. Then you're not. You solve the problem of not being in the fight. You're not going to mess up the leaders. You're not going to be a slow car in the way. And also, you don't get your lap back. So, you know, the safety car. So you get stuffed twice with the safety car. Tough. He should have been at the back. And you know, I mean, it was a comeback drive, I suppose. He messed up the first lap. He was well down. He had a puncture and still managed to finish second. So that's, you know, good for him. But he caused chaos all along the way.
Which leads me nicely into a contact message we had from Pat W. You can leave your thoughts at sidepodcast.com/contact if you have any. Pat said, fun race, enjoyed the three wide restart. A bit too manic with all the contact though, and probably a good advert to remove some of the aero devices. They get all over the place. Very impressed by Lance Stroll in the last two races, as well as the pace of the Williams today. For a minute, I was sure Felipe Massa might win. Shame about his car troubles. But then Ricciardo made that awesome pass. Don't know what Vettel was thinking. He got away very, very lightly with a stop-go penalty and license points. I would have disqualified him. And I'm not a rabid Hamilton fan. Lewis made his own errors and was a bit selfish himself on the radio, but he was entitled to run that restart however he liked. The Force India drivers could ruin what should be a very good year for the team. Yeah, they crashed into each other again.
Again, there was arguments after Canada, and they managed to throw away a really good result. I mean, Ocon had a recovery drive and it was all right, but, you know, bless the mechanics. A quick shout out to the mechanics, both from Force India and from Ferrari, who recovered Perez and Raikkonen's cars and sent them back out again.
It's like those two were joined at the hip because they both retired. Then there was the red flag period, which allowed the mechanics to patch them up, which was very impressive. So they both got going again. Then they both got penalties, drive-through penalties, for being patched up again, which they both took. And then they both retired again. It was very weird.
But I do like the not giving up spirit. It's very much like Le Mans, very much like an endurance race, very much like we will just keep fighting until the very end, until it's absolutely hopeless. In a race like we had today, that was absolutely the attitude to have.
Anything could have happened. And it's an attitude we haven't seen very much. For example, Alonso's always retiring on the penultimate lap, which just feels like giving up. But today he didn't do that, and he got some points.
Really good points.
First points of the year.
Yeah. Also, I thought Sauber, who have not had covered themselves in glory this week with the exit of Manisha, they have also been under scrutiny for perhaps favouring Marcus Ericsson over Wehrlein. And it looked like the race was playing out in that same way today. It looked like Ericsson was going to get the best strategy and Wehrlein wasn't going to be allowed to pass him at any point until it became really obvious that Ericsson was about to cost the team points, at which point they had no choice but to let Wehrlein go and to make sure they bagged a couple of points. But they got some, you know, and that's good for Sauber. They need them. I do worry about the dynamic within that team, though. It feels like Wehrlein's sort of on the edge of, doesn't matter what he does, he's like that close to being fired. Even though he's done, you know, he may do nothing wrong. And Ericsson's the golden child who can do no wrong.
We've also got some thoughts from Rob, who he has his own F1 podcast called F1 Everything. It's definitely worth listening to. We'll put a link in the show notes. And he shared his thoughts while he was walking home.
So I just watched the Azerbaijan Grand Prix around my friend's house. It was an incredible race. It had everything you could want. Great comeback drives, amazing overtaking, some carnage, some controversy. It was a 5-star race, by my opinion, right? But the main talking point from this Grand Prix is sadly going to be Vettel and Hamilton, okay? What happened with them? That's not the main story, okay? Let's be really honest. The main story from this race was Danny Ric winning. He was last at one point. It was Bottas being over a minute behind Grosjean. He was at the back, a minute behind Grosjean, who was the only car in front, his next car in front, and he still makes second. And Lance Stroll getting his first podium after a coming-of-age performance. Okay, those were the main talking points. It was not Hamilton and Vettel. But the British media, Sky Sports F1, Channel 4 F1, and all the websites and all the newspapers are going to make this the story. And quite frankly, it's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. Yes, Vettel should not have come around and said, I didn't do anything wrong, because he did. Any idiot could see that. Anyone with a set of eyes and a brain cell could work out that Vettel was to blame for the situation. But that lady for Sky Sports, who was reporting and asking him questions, have you ever seen someone try to antagonise someone as much as that? No. What a fool. Be professional and ask questions that aren't intentionally completely trying to sabotage the British public's view of someone. They'll make their own opinion. They don't need some idiot asking, well, you hit him, didn't you? You hit him, didn't you? Like prodding a bear with a stick. And that lady as well then started asking Hamilton, yeah, what do you think? Disgraceful, wasn't it? It was awful. He hit you. And Hamilton's like, yeah, fine, he did, but it's over. It's done. Whatever. Move on. And that is the right approach. Both drivers have had their say. I think Lewis is right. I think Seb should have turned around and said, yeah, I shouldn't have done that. And I think he's going to. He'll realise it. But it's over now. But it's not. We're going to hear about this for weeks. Can we just have some unbiased coverage of F1? I don't think we've ever had it. Just be nice to each other. Enjoy the sport. We're having a great season. We get a battle between two teams. And it's imploded to an extent, yeah. But that's not the story, guys. We watched a great race. And two bit of handbags between two drivers is not the story.
That's a great sentiment from Rob. A quick shout out, actually. I know at some point we want to do a show when we talk about other podcasts and we want to help promote other F1 podcasts. We're not doing many. We haven't done as many recordings as we want as we'd like to do, ideally. F1 Everything is a great show. There's a lot of similar F1 podcasts out there. But F1 Everything stands alone, I think. Rob has a completely unique take on how he covers F1. And I think if you're looking for new shows to listen to, if you're bereft of podcasts, because, you know, we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, as many as we should do, do check out Rob, because F1 Everything is a great show. And I think, that's a great sentiment, isn't it? And can we just be a bit nicer to each other? Because you have this divide. You have Hamilton fans and you have Vettel fans, and you're going to have this in any situation. But it does feel like it's become very vicious on social media. And maybe it wouldn't hurt if, like, you know, I agree with this guy and I agree with this or whatever, you know, and I disagree with what he did there. If people just could do it in a slightly less aggressive way. And I say that knowing that I'm, you know, one of those aggressive people at times. But I will try. I will listen to Rob. I will take that inspiration and try and be a tiny bit nicer to people discussing and debating online. Because we've got what we want. We've got a great Formula One season. We've got an amazing battle at the front. And for, you know, right or wrong, whether you wish Vettel to lose or whether you, you know, wish Hamilton to win, it's better than having one driver just run away with everything, which was a danger. When Nico Rosberg announced his retirement, there was a very big risk that this entire season would be a washout. And not only has it not been a washout, today's race was an exceptionally good race. From start to finish, there was not a moment to pause. And not a moment to take stock and just to gather one's thoughts, you know, until the checkered flag had fallen right the way to the very end. And we should be grateful for that, and I'm grateful for that. And it's nice that we can do a show now and talk about all this stuff, and there was, you know, it's so eventful. And there's so many other people, there's so many other drives to discuss. Is there anyone we've missed that we ought to touch upon?
Well, yeah, it didn't end this way, but there was a moment during the race when the top three were Ricciardo, Stroll and Magnussen, and I just thought that was really, really fun. I mean, Magnussen hasn't been anywhere near there for ages. And then you've got Grosjean in the other Haas just complaining about his brakes nonstop. Brake, 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 brake. As soon as you see that there's going to be a radio message from Grosjean, you may as well tune out because you already know what he's going to say.
My brakes are gone. My brakes are shot. Yeah, what's going on? I mean, Magnussen's making a much better job of that Haas. And it's nice. I mean, he didn't really stand a chance.
He finished seventh in the end.
Yes, once the faster cars came back at him. But it was good to see him up there. I mean, that would have been an amazing podium. We had a decent podium, but Ricciardo, Stroll and Magnussen would have been a great 1-2-3. I did want to mention Hülkenberg, who's a driver who has managed to avoid the F1 podium, I think, his entire career. And today would have been a day when Hülkenberg should have been up there. He should have been on the third or maybe even the second step of the podium. The Renault, you know, not the fastest car. The engine is struggling. Red Bull obviously have proven that it can be a race winner. And Hülkenberg stuck it in the wall.
Yep.
And that's why he hasn't made it onto the podium. I know he's a highly rated driver. And obviously compared to his teammate at the moment, he's doing a much better job for Renault. But of all the afternoons, of all the days to get the corner wrong and to break your front wheel, it really was a huge disappointment. And I think he will rue what he did today. I think that will stick with him for a while.
I think it was also disappointing that Max Verstappen's car or his engine gave up only 13 laps into it, because he's retired from what is 4 of the last 6 races.
Mm.
And he is so, I mean, he does spice up races. Obviously, we didn't need any more in this this event.
Forbid.
But yeah, it's disappointing for him to have another retirement.
Yes, but it hasn't happened to Daniel, which is odd. I wonder if there's a driving style issue there that the Renault can't, you know, needs to be nursed more, and Ricciardo's style seems to suit it slightly better.
And then, of course, it is just worth mentioning what a terrible weekend Palmer had. He had a fire, he had crashes, he retired. It was really, it's like, go home and start again.
Go home and stay there. That would be my advice. Go home, don't even think about Formula One again. You're not needed. Even the car doesn't want you in it. It's a little bit harsh. I know the guy's up against it and he hasn't got a lot of support. But, you know, he's had his chance.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing is, we were saying this about Lance Stroll recently and now he's finished on the podium. So things can turn around.
That is true. However, keep in mind that Stroll had an amazing introduction to Formula One. He raced in many of the circuits that he's coming to. And also apparently had a sneaky, cheeky secret test. Following the Canadian Grand Prix, he went to the Circuit of Americas and had more training and more support to try and help him. Now, I'm all for team supporting drivers, but, I mean, all he's done today, it is good. It's great to see him on the podium, but all he's done today is what he should be doing, what he's paid to do.
Yeah, I think everyone is like, yeah, it's amazing, Stroll's on the podium, didn't he do a good job? And it is true, he got to the end, but he didn't do anything special. He just didn't get involved in any chaos. Like Ricciardo made an amazing overtaking move. He got two cars in one corner, which put him in the lead of the race and he won. Stroll, you know, he got there. It's great. Well done.
He didn't crash. He didn't lose his head when more experienced drivers did. Hülkenberg. But it wasn't a spectacular drive. And had Massa not had the problems that Massa had, that would have been Massa's second place. And I suspect, actually, Massa wouldn't have lifted as he crossed the line, which it looked like Stroll did. It looked like the guy didn't know where the checkered flag was. I don't know if anyone's... I don't know whether the evidence is proving it one more or another. But Bottas came past him at a much higher pace than you might expect.
Yeah. And they're all still very happy with the third place, obviously. But then it's like, you could have had second.
Yes. It looks like he threw it away. He's had this extra support, which Palmer hasn't had. Fairness to Palmer. No one's given him free tests, because he probably can't afford to do it. His daddy won't pay for them. And so you know, Stroll is where he should be. And that's as much as you can say. He did well. He did not do exceptionally well today. So we'll see where he goes from here. I mean, the Canadian Grand Prix was good to him, and this one was even better. So, you know, let's see where the rest of his season
onwards
goes.
Onwards and upwards.
The rest of the races prior to those two, he's not been in them. And Williams have been a one-car team, which is why they've struggled against Force India in the championship table. But now it looks like you may have a two-car team. So maybe the Williams comeback starts here.
So I'm sure that's not everything that happened in that race, but it's kind of all we have time to talk about. I think we've covered a good portion of it. Really, the takeaway is what Rob said, just be nice to each other.
Be nice to each other. Fans, you got what you wanted. We've got a good season. We had a race that's worth talking about, and that's why we're talking about it. And that's nice to hear. Let's see if the next one, where are we, in Austria? Let's see if Austria gives us this many topics to choose from, this many topics to discuss. I'm loving this season. I mean, I'm very much enjoying everybody on social media. I'm enjoying the teams and their new ability to share more with us. I'm loving the new owners. I think Liberty have been absolutely wonderful for Formula One, and they keep delivering and it keeps getting better. And there's so much more to talk about. We're going to do more podcasts, right? We're going to do more shows. And if people will continue to listen and continue to contribute with their voicemails and their opinions, that will be much appreciated. Big hugs and big love to everybody. It's been a brilliant weekend. Here's to more of them.